Fantasy Flow Podcast is running out of clever little intros. Hey, welcome back to the Fantasy Flow Podcast. We are your hosts, Austin and Andy. And that was an incredible slate of games. Week 13 really delivered. We're here to break it all down. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. Bought some stuff, spent time with your families, and hopefully you caught a lot of ball. I want to just break down the Thanksgiving games, and I want to talk about them as a whole. We'll kind of lump them together. We can de-lump them afterwards, maybe put them through the ricer and get as granular as we'd like. But first of all, these three games, crazy. Probably the best Thanksgiving slate I can remember. And we thought that they would be great matchups when we previewed this last week, and we were totally right. I mean, just very exciting games. All three underdogs, Andy, won outright with scoring 31 points, 31 points, and 32 points. So this was just a pretty incredible showing. And just a very exciting ball. I mean, what were your thoughts? Were you watching a lot of these games with your family, or are you the kind of family that tries to, you know, turn off the screens?
Oh, no. Football was on the entire day. More than the underdog part, usually Thanksgiving Day is filled with the home team getting the win. So to see two of the away teams go and get the turkey leg or whatever food they had out for the players was I bet it's kind of awkward for everybody around, right? The fans don't want to see it. The visiting team is celebrating, but also probably trying to get out of there. It's just awkward when the visiting team wins on Thanksgiving, but you're right.
Divisional rivals too, in the case of the Packers coming into Detroit and the Bengals coming into Baltimore. That was especially sad. The Bengals Ravens, because it's at night and like they brought out these chefs, cause the game was kind of a blowout relative to the other two. They brought out the chefs who prepared the turkey, and they're asking them, and obviously they're from Baltimore.
Right.
And they're like, oh, and you put crab in it, huh? Because that's kind of a Baltimore thing. And they're like, yeah, we put, there's some crab in there. Joe Burrow's going to love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the chef even has the Baltimore logo on his shirt. And they're not getting it. That's just hilarious.
Pretty crazy. Yeah. Shout out to the Cowboys for actually winning at home. A huge upset. Let's talk about these games. So Lions Packers. The biggest question that I had coming into the game was like the Packers and their receiving weapons. They don't have Jaden Reed. Haven't had him all season. Matthew Golden misses this game, and obviously you don't have Tucker Kraft for the rest of the year. So it's like, okay, these receivers need to step up. Last week we saw Christian Watson step up, or maybe that was the week before. This week, Wicks had a huge game. And Christian Watson, I think he scored another touchdown, and it was just really great to see. Jordan Love had one of his best games of the year, and Micah Parsons was dominant on the other side. I was like, whoa. But obviously you can't talk about the Packers' dominance without mentioning the fact that Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the best receivers in the game, left at like the very beginning of the first quarter, scored every fantasy manager 0 points, and that's just a terrible way to start your weekend if you're a manager of Amon-Ra St. Brown or a Lions fan. That's just really sad. What do you think?
Pissed at the situation for him. You know, a lot of people root for the guy too, so you're pissed at the situation because you started him. You're pissed because he's now he can't contribute to the game. And but man, Jordan Love, probably I haven't looked at all his stats throughout his entire career, but I would argue that was probably his best game of his career. The guy couldn't miss, and it seemed like the receivers were just like, I'm gonna ball out for Jordan Love no matter what. I mean, the catch to win the game, Wicks just like climbs the ladder and gets it at his highest point and secures it. Like, there's no way, 9 out of 10 times, I don't think he makes that catch. Like, that was, in my mind, such a miracle catch from a guy that is just there for insurance purposes. And that's exactly what he did, was he just got the game and insured the win.
Was he the guy that they were trying to like move to defensive back at the start of or in the off season?
I don't even know. That's a great question.
I read something about that, but yeah, everyone came out and you love to see it, right? I mean, this is like the spot, right? It's divisional matchup on Thanksgiving, one of the most watched games all year. And yeah, just absolute gotta have it moments. Yep. They really stepped up. But you know, that's in addition to the Packers star players, like Micah Parsons had at least two sacks in this game. And they only won by, I think it was a one possession game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was huge. Cowboys Chiefs. It wasn't as close as the final score would suggest. The Cowboys really handled the Chiefs. Out of nowhere, is the Cowboys defense good? Like, they held the Chiefs scoreless in the second and third quarter. And it just seems like with some of the recent trades, I know I talked about it a lot last week, so I'm going to let you talk about it, Andy. But what would you see from the Cowboys on Thanksgiving? Probably the most watched game. I mean, I forgot to look at the numbers before we started, but like in the last few years, probably the most watched football game.
Definitely right? This year, for sure. Had to be this year. Honestly, Dallas is just like the best team to watch right now. They're the most fun, entertaining. It was almost like the Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboo when they first came together. Like, you just had so much fun watching them. That's how I feel watching the Cowboys. They are just cohesive as a unit, and they feed off of each other, and they've just been put down so much throughout the year. To see them just rise a little bit above current expectations, and then on off, they're probably the most entertaining offense to watch right now, maybe besides the Patriots. I don't know. I'm just shooting from the hip here.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, I love to hate the Cowboys just for fun, just because it's fun. They're not a division rival or anything.
Right.
But I mean, even Cowboys haters have to admit that, like, the NFL is just more fun when the Cowboys are in the mix.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not necessarily contenders, but, like, you know, it's just more fun. If they're bad, it's fun to make fun of them. But even that gets old. It's like, come on. They got to be at least in the mix, you know? And they're absolutely in the mix now. They're above 500 for the first time. It feels like all year. And the Chiefs, boy, absolutely sputtering. What are they, 6-6 now? Just crazy, crazy town. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. But yeah, they were, like I said, scoreless for half the game. And then they put some lipstick on a pig there at the end, but they were never actually going to come all the way back. So yeah, man, I don't know. Cowboys are going to be super interesting to track. And yeah, let's move on to the third Thanksgiving game. Bengals, Ravens. This was gross. I mean, I'm a Ravens supporter, but I'd like to think that even an impartial viewer thought that this game was kind of gross. I mean, it was just 5 turnovers from the Ravens, only 1 interception. So that's 4 lost fumbles for the Ravens offense. You're not going to win games when you do that. I mean, this is, I don't know if this is a hot take, but like Joe Flacco would have won that game. He didn't. Joe Burrow came back and he had a great game. And maybe you could argue that like the defense played harder for him than they would have for Flacco. But like, this was really a story about the Bengals defense and how they've been like historically bad up until this point, suddenly just come alive and force 5 turnovers.
Yes. I don't think we're going to see that very often from the Bengals defense for the rest of this season. I think this was, I mean, look what happened when Joe Flacco came to this team. They play Pittsburgh on a Thursday night on a short week, and they upset them. They surprise them. I think that was just that same mojo, divisional game. It's at home. Joe Burrow comes back. Oh, we got to play up for him. I could easily see the Bengals losing the rest of the season, honestly. I mean, it's... this team is still not good. Like, they just had a surprising win against a divisional opponent. You have to understand that divisional games are way different than a regular game. On a short week, they were preparing for Joe Burrow to come back for this game, so I felt like he was even extra prepared because he probably wasn't prepping for the Patriots the week before. He was probably preparing for the Ravens the entire time. Excuse me there. So I don't know. I I kind of saw the writing on the wall, and something, obviously something is going on with Lamar. He is missing people left and right. They're not using the run game. Keaton Mitchell. He had this great run. I'm pretty sure he scored a touchdown. Like, he's like their lightning bolt. And then they just like, okay, good job, dude. Now go away the rest of the game. Like, makes no sense.
Yeah, something's wrong with this Ravens offense for sure. I mean, they will go like drives at a time, like sometimes consecutive drives where they don't attempt to run the ball. Like, it's like they just forget that it exists. Derrick Henry had, I think, 6 yards per carry, and he ran the ball 10 times. So, like, I don't know how that happens. You have Derrick Henry, and he only gets the ball 10 times. I don't care how much you're down. It's like, it's not the fourth quarter. Like right. Control the clock, put some points on the board. I don't know. And, yeah, like you said, Lamar, like, obviously it's the turnovers. Obviously they're not running enough. But, yes, there were multiple instances of Lamar missing guys by like 10 yards, like just horrible misses. Yes. And something's wrong with him. It's probably a foot thing. I don't know what it is, but like Lamar's broken. And so is this offense.
Right.
And if the season ended today, they would be in the playoffs. So I don't know what to make of this. And to your point about the Bengals and divisional matchups, I mean, the Bengals have 4 wins. So this year, they've beaten the Browns, Steelers, and Ravens. So it's absolute lunacy. And just, I guess you just throw everything out the window and it's an AFC North matchup. I think that's all we've learned.
Yep.
And we're getting one next week when the Ravens play the Steelers. Tied for the division lead. So, it's going to be spicy. Let's go ahead and move on. So that was Thanksgiving, and then we had another one on Friday, Bears-Eagles, and this game was pretty surprising. I mean, we had 3 upsets on Thanksgiving, and then we had another one the very next day. The Bears, they take down the Eagles by running the ball down their throats. Kyle Manungai, DeAndre Swift, what's going on with this Eagles defense? They're just getting run over, and I know you saw Ben Johnson in the locker room after the game, did you? Yeah, dude, like, ripped his shirt off, and he was going nuts. I would be, too. This train just will not stop for anything in Chicago. Absolute craziness.
No, it won't. And I'm all about it. It's cool to see the Bears be good again. Last time I saw the Bears make a stand towards anything, I was in eighth grade or something. Like, I was in middle school. They go to the Super Bowl with Lovie Smith and go against Peyton Manning with the Colts. I mean, that's where I found my love for Peyton Manning and the Colts, was like that year. So it's so cool to see the Bears be relevant, be the top of the NFC. I wrote down just a couple notes from the game itself. One little trend, I'll start with the Eagles here. One little trend that I think we're all kind of noticing is when A.J. Brown gets his, the Eagles lose. When A.J. Brown doesn't get his, or very little, they win the game. And they are just becoming the people pleaser for A.J. Brown. He had over 130 yards, 2 touchdowns, and they still lose. Your best player does that well. It's bonkers to me. They can't stop the run, as you just mentioned, and they can't run the ball. I mean, Saquon looks pedestrian. I know last year his ceiling was just mega high, statue high, right? He could do no wrong. I mean, we saw arguably the best play of the year when he backwards hurdles over that Jaguars player. I mean, this guy was everybody's superhero. Now he's just the guy, he's an NPC walking down the road. Like, he's not doing anything. And especially since the week 9 bye, he has only gone over 80 yards 3 times this year. And he has only hit over 100 yards once.
Wow.
Let that sink in. The hero that we all knew is an NPC.
That's tough. You remember last year I did like this deep dive into running backs, and I was looking at yards before contact, yards after contact, who's just O-line is doing most of the work, who's actually good. You know, some guys were good before and after. Saquon Barkley led the league by a mile in yards before contact and overall yards per carry because of that. It was like he was almost getting 4 yards a carry before contact. It was something lunacy. I just looked it up, and this year he's getting like 2.4 yards before contact, which is good enough for 25th in the league. That's below the league average for yards before contact. So whatever code they cracked with their offensive line last year, that doesn't exist this year. I think they're missing a couple guys. I can think of at least two that they're missing, one due to injury and one just left in the offseason. But I thought that Saquon Barkley, like, he was going to be more special, and like he didn't need to rely on those yards before contact. Obviously it helps, but yeah, no, you're right. He's average, below average in some stats.
Below average, which is,
it's just the Madden curse. I don't know what else.
Dude, loss of coordinator, loss of O-lineman. A lot going on. They're not leading the games as much as they were last year. But yet they still have 9 wins. Like, the fans are booing them, and they just won the Super Bowl last year, and they have their 1 win away from double digit wins. I mean, what more can you ask for this team? Yeah, sure, it's a little ugly from time to time, but hell, all these good teams, nobody's like perfect in the NFL. I don't know. I think things will turn around for the Eagles. I'm really not worried, but this game definitely showed their flaws. Especially with not being able to stop the run. Speaking of running the ball, man, Ben Johnson with the Bears, mm-hmm. He is on his pedestal, man. Give me that golden medal, because I deserve it. That's what he's saying to the rest of the league right now. He is taking the Detroit scheme and making it in the Chicago, like with a Chicago twist on it, you know? He's running the ball. And then he's just asking his quarterback to do the minimum of making accurate throws and then just play stellar defense. Like, that's the Detroit formula, and he's bringing that to Chicago, and it's working to a T. I mean, I got to tap myself on the back here. I started Kyle Monongai, and man, like, I was so happy, to see him pop off. And this run game is just finally hitting its full stride, in my opinion. They are averaging 153.8 rushing yards per game, and that's second behind the Bills. And the Bills are just like a yard or two ahead of them. It's crazy. Yeah. They have, and then on the defensive side, they have 26 total turnovers. So that's more than two turnovers. They're creating more than two turnovers a game as a defense. It's ridiculous. It's insane. And nobody's really talking about the Bears as a defensive team. It's all Ben Johnson, right? As I just started this conversation off, like, it's all what the offense is doing. But man, this defense is containing teams to a T.
Those turnovers are absolutely massive. I mean, I just talked about how the Ravens committed 5 turnovers. We've talked about the Seahawks turnovers. It's like, it matters so much in these games, and they're getting like 2 every game, like plus 2 every game in turnover differential. Like, it's so good. And I think, you know, turnovers, it can be fluky, but it's also, you can fool a quarterback with scheme, and you can teach a defense to like really go after the ball and figure out how to force fumbles. Going at the ball as guys are falling to the ground is something that I've seen a lot this year. I just wanted to back up your point about the running backs and the running game. Both Kyle Monongai and DeAndre Swift are top 5 in that yards before contact stat. So the Bears offensive line is moving people.
Yes.
I think we're going to move on to the Sunday games. Let's go ahead and start in Seattle real quick. I mean, not much to talk about. It was an absolute shutout. Andy, I think the Seahawks heard what you said last week about giving up too many points to the Titans, because we bring in the Vikings, led by Max Brosmer, some JUCO quarterback, and the Seahawks allow 0 points. You had to be happy with that, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's a way to show the rest of the league we ain't messing around. The expectation is already low for the Minnesota Vikings coming into this game. Let's make it lower. Let's make it zero expectations and keep it there.
I loved what I saw. Biggest takeaways, Sam Darnold did lose another fumble, so I'm tracking that. And the Vikings offensive line is not healthy. This was one of the biggest mismatches across the whole league, was the Vikings offensive line versus the Seahawks defensive line. Like, no quarterback stood a chance. Some might have done better than Max Brosmer, but he was not set up for success at all. No. So yeah, I'm very dubious of JJ McCarthy when he comes back, just because the Vikings offensive line is hurt, and all the other reasons, you know.
So. Yeah. The season's over for this team.
Yeah. Stunner of a game, Panthers. What? They beat the Rams, and suddenly the Seahawks and Rams are tied for the NFC West lead. How did the Panthers do this? I kind of took a deep dive. I watched all the highlights, and I just kind of assumed that this was like a shootout that the Panthers happened to win. But, you know, I'm looking, Stafford, he committed 3 turnovers in this game. And what did I say last week? I said the only way that Matt Stafford doesn't win MVP outside of injury is if he just suddenly starts turning the ball over a bunch. So he had 3 in this game, and it cost his team the win. One of them wasn't really his fault. It was a deflected pass that ended up being intercepted in the end zone. But he did throw a pick 6. That was totally his fault. He was just way late on an outside route. He lost a fumble. It was a sack fumble, and that ended the game. Like, they never got the ball back after he coughed it up in that way. Panthers, I mean, I don't know how they did it, but hats off to them, because they were facing, this was a critical play that I wanted to make sure I mentioned. They were facing 4th and 3. This was in the third quarter, right around the 35-yard line. So it would have been a long field goal, but like, we've seen plenty of teams kick a field goal there. They went for it, and not only did they go for it, Bryce Young, he went for it all, targeting Jalen Coker, who was running just a go route on the outside, and he beat his guy just one-on-one, and Bryce Young hit him in stride for 6. And I thought that was just absolutely crazy, and it made the Rams, I think it changed their game plan, like having to play catch-up. And the Panthers' defense just came up huge, made a couple just awesome plays. Puka Nacua had some insane catches. Oh. I don't know, dude. Man. This game was pretty wild. And it just really felt like Stafford's mistakes, as well as the Rams' secondary, is what made the difference in the game.
Sure. That Rams secondary has been lights out these last couple games.
They're missing Quentin Lake, who's like their stud DB. He went on IR, so was out for this game. And yeah, we saw a lot of the Panthers picking on Emmanuel Forbes, and their other guys it looked like a completely different secondary.
I honestly hate that call, going for a go route on a 4th and short, and a pivotal point. I really hate that type of play call, because the risk versus reward swing is so high. Where you just need 3 yards, why are you going for the score there? But you know, props to them for having it work. And Bryce Young, probably again one of his better games of his career against arguably the best team in the league. And obviously the Panthers defense found a flaw, and I think other teams are probably gonna, if I'm another team, I'm using this tape to see what did the Panthers do that these other opponents haven't been doing. And how can I exploit the Rams offense at any point? That's what I would do.
Yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair. I mean, if they go for it and don't get it, then like, I'm singing a different tune for sure.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah. I was just kind of thrilled that they beat the Rams. Pretty crazy.
100%.
Final game that I think we're going to talk about. There were some other games that were good, had some great action, but were ultimately kind of like what we thought, But the last one that really surprised me was this Sunday night football game, Broncos Commanders.
Oh, what a
game. I mean, this game felt like it had everything. It was Marcus Mariota, Bo Nix. We saw the good and the bad. And it was just like a lot of just grit, a lot of fight. We saw Bobby Wagner come up with a huge play. Frankie Louvu's giving Bo Nix fits. And it's like, are the Commanders actually going to mess around and win this one? It was phenomenal, and the way it ended, it was so dramatic. I couldn't think of a more dramatic ending to a Sunday slate of games. Just from my own perspective, I had RJ Harvey in a big spot in fantasy, and I picked the Broncos in the Fantasy Flow faceoff. And so I'm like, can I go 3-0 for the first time in a long time with my picks? Because I had gotten the previous two right. And so it's looking like the score's too close. The Broncos aren't going to cover 6.5. And I'm like, man, the only way that I'm able to cover is if the Commanders can go kick a field goal, take this to overtime, Broncos win the coin flip, Broncos drive down the field and score a touchdown. That's the only way they're going to score 7 points. And that all happened. And it was RJ Harvey who scored the touchdown. So I'm going nuts. And I'm thinking I'm 3-0 with my picks. And then freaking Marcus Mariota drives all the way down the field. Shout out Debo Samuel. Shout out all those guys making huge contributions. Zach Ertz had some amazing conversions.
Oh, yeah.
But then they go for two, get stopped, and Broncos win.
Bop!
Yeah, it was like Dikembe Mutombo, the way Nick Bonito just like swatted it, blocked it, and just said, and then, yeah, Broncos walk out of there with the win. Another close game. We don't need to keep harping it, but like it just keeps happening every week. The Broncos win another close game. On to the Team Elimination Challenge, Week 13 edition. So we've eliminated 12 teams. That's like 2/3 of the teams that we need to eliminate. And they're on your screen right now. Those teams are all dead and gone, according to us. They've been eliminated. I feel like this is a real inflection point in the Team Elimination Challenge. I feel like up until now, it's been kind of just like dunking on like bad teams or teams that are having a bad season. This is where it starts, okay? And this week could have been easy if the Panthers or the Cowboys or both had lost, but they both won. So now it's like, oh my gosh, who do we eliminate, Andy? Who do we eliminate? And to help us, I am going to pull up the NFL playoff picture, and I'll share that real quick. But Andy, go ahead and just kind of share your thoughts on who you might be considering.
I'm leaning towards Pittsburgh or the Cowboys, unfortunately. The thing with the Cowboys is they probably don't have a good enough record to make the wild card, and they really have to catch up to Philadelphia. Philly has 8 wins. Excuse me, I said 9 earlier. They're 8-4. Cowboys are 6-5-1. I just see it as a really tall climb to have the Cowboys. They're not like they have to win their division. There's just not going to be enough wins there to make a wild card, which is crazy because I think the NFC wild card, all the wild card teams are going to have double digit wins. So that's kind of where Carolina, they can outbeat the Buccaneers to try to win the division. So I feel like the Panthers, we can table them. And then with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I know they're kind of in that same situation as the Panthers, but in the AFC North between them and the Ravens. I don't care about the Steelers. I don't like watching them. I don't think they're very good. Their offense is non-existent. Their defense has to win them the game, and their defense is the oldest in the league. They're just going to get more and more hurt. I don't trust this team at all. That's my rant. What do you say?
That's fair, dog. I think we're kind of combining segments here. We have the Team Elimination Challenge. We're looking at the playoff picture, and we kind of need to look ahead to week 14 to even have this conversation, because next week the Ravens and the Steelers play each other. The Cowboys and the Lions, the NFC wildcard hopefuls here, play each other. The Chiefs, Texans play each other. So it's like this is all going to play out next week. and it'll be way easier. But as of right now, it's like anything can happen. The Steelers and Ravens are tied. The Cowboys and Lions are on the outside looking in, but one of them's going to get a win next week and the other one's going to fade. So it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do, Andy. I don't know what to do.
Okay.
Because if we're eliminating the Steelers, then that means you're picking the Ravens to win next week. Ooh. No?
Yeah. Yeah, that is. And I'm all for, I mean, yeah, that's probably what I would do. But if we pick the Cowboys, I'm saying the Lions are going to win, and I think the Cowboys probably win that game.
The Dallas Cowboys, the last two games, they've beaten both teams who were in the Super Bowl in February.
Crazy.
The Eagles and the Chiefs.
Crazy.
Yeah. I think that's the first time in like over a decade that that's happened, that a team has beaten the two Super Bowl participants back-to-back weeks. Maybe the first time in multiple decades.
Right.
So, yeah, I really don't know. I don't want to be the one to tell the Cowboys that they can't do it. But the truth is they need help mathematically. Like, they don't control their own destiny. Like, if the Eagles keep winning and if these teams in the wildcard spots keep winning, they will just be on the outside looking in. There's no other way around it. The Steelers, I mean, all they need is for the Ravens to just implode. Like, they just need to beat them next week. And it's there's just not a whole lot of competition for them. Obviously, the Steelers aren't getting that wild card spot. And then, yeah, the Panthers, Bucks, that's too close to call. Mm-hmm. And they haven't played each other yet, and they won't until, like, the end of the season. So I can't eliminate the Panthers. Yeah, this is so tough. I honestly kind of want to throw the Chiefs in the mix. What do you think about eliminating the 6-6 Kansas City Chiefs, knowing that they've lost the tiebreaker to a lot of these teams, and they just seem to not really have it this year?
No, they don't. It's just, honestly, I feel crazy for not even mentioning them. But yeah, it's they have a worse record than the Pittsburgh, or just the same.
The same. Yeah, they're both 6-6.
But
unlike the Steelers, the Chiefs can't win their division. Like, the Steelers are competing to win the division. The Chiefs are competing for this wild card spot, which is super competitive.
Okay, let's do it. Chiefs.
Are we doing it?
I guess so. I mean, I don't like any other option.
I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Chiefs, you're done.
You're gone.
Yeah, I wanted to give us props when it came to the Team Elimination Challenge, because we did this successfully last year, and this year, I mean, unlike last year, where there was no real team that kind of came out of nowhere, you know, it was relatively straightforward, surprisingly, this year's been a little nuts. The Ravens were like 1-5 or something. Yeah, I think they were 1-5. And the Texans started off 0-3, and we smartly kept them alive. I mean, this year's been really tricky to navigate. And if eliminating the Chiefs right here at 6-6, that could be what keeps us alive for the rest of the season. That could be what gave us just a little bit more information to make these critical choices on the divisions. Now we get to see what happens between the Steelers and Ravens, right? Now we get to see what happens with the Cowboys and Lions. That could give us some much easier decisions moving forward, as long as the Chiefs don't get in the playoffs. So
I like it. I like it. And hey, props to us. We're 5-5 so far. We've eliminated 12 teams, but 5 of those are actually mathematically eliminated.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
Including
the Arizona Cardinals, whom we took the under. So that already cashed, and they're already eliminated. So.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Let's preview week 14. I know I mentioned a lot of those games, but yeah, let's talk about Colts-Jaguars, because I know you texted me yesterday that you're like, wait. The Jags just moved into the third seed in the AFC.
Oh my gosh.
But now we get to see what happens. The Jaguars and the Colts, both 8-4, and they're going up against each other. Andy, what do you think about that game?
I don't know what to think anymore. The Colts seem like the normal Daniel Jones type of Giants. Like, he's bringing his ghosts to this team now, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it. The Colts are my AFC team. I hated seeing them lose against the Texans, especially with such a battle of a game, hard-fought game, defensive game. The Colts need to score more than 20 points. They're the leading scorers of the NFL right now. Like, they just need to score 20 points. And the Jaguars defense, there's some flaws, but they're also pretty good too. Trevor Lawrence is the Jags are making Trevor Lawrence look like he's worth his contract. And I that's the part that upsets me the most, is like, this guy's not good. He's having a couple good weeks. And unfortunately, the Colts are losing and the Texans are winning. And so therefore the Jags are now in the top four. They're winning the division
right
now.
Hold your ground, Andy. Hold your ground. Okay. Trevor Lawrence is not good. This Jaguars team is not good. Okay. They had to beat the Raiders in overtime. They had to beat the Cardinals in overtime. This last week, they played the Titans. Like, of course.
Yes.
The Jags are going to win. I do like the Jacoby Myers addition. It was very necessary considering how terrible Brian Thomas Jr. is suddenly. And they're missing their rookie who they traded the world for. This is just a bad run team.
I just think it's hilarious how they go and trade up for Travis Hunter. This guy's going to make or break our season. This guy is going to be the difference maker for our team. And he's not on the field, and yet they're 8-4. It's like, you guys didn't need to go and do that. Like, this is it's just so funny to see them give away their future for a guy that's not even on the field, and yet they're succeeding without him. It's all hilarious in my mind. I really want Jonathan Taylor to have a monster game against the Jaguars. Honestly, the line is at 1.5. I would be surprised if it just goes to a money line game. This is such a coin flip of a situation.
I have confidence in the Colts. Let's move on to another game that we actually have yet to talk about. Well, okay, there is Bears Packers. We could get into that. I don't know if there's much to say. The Packers,
both
you know,
really
when Aaron Rodgers was there.
Yeah,
they're great teams, and they're within half a game of each other for the division lead. So, like, this is absolutely massive for the whole NFC playoff picture, really. But, like, when Aaron Rodgers was on the Packers, they owned the Bears. They had an incredible record against the Bears. It's like, is that still the case? Is that in their mind? You know, like, are they playing with this confidence? Is this still big brother versus little brother, or is this a whole new ball game with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm excited. This is probably going to be a low scoring game. I know I've said that about juggernaut games in the past, but man, this is going to be who can control the clock the most, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think possessing the ball and the turnover margin is going to decide this game.
Right. So,
the last one that I want to mention, Monday Night Football, Eagles versus Chargers. Two teams looking like they're going to be playoff contenders. Where do the Eagles go from here? Can the Chargers capitalize on an Eagles team that is just giving it up on the ground? Is Omarion Hampton going to come back? Tons of question marks around this game. Tons of question marks around the Eagles as a whole. Like, are they going to spiral? Because this is two straight losses for the Eagles, no? And they don't really get a break. Not until the following week they host the Raiders. So now they have to go to LA and play the Chargers. I don't like it, but at the same time I have a hard time picking the Chargers to win this game. So
yeah, I agree. I think you know, the Eagles are gonna have to fly all the way to LA from Philly. It's a long flight. But you know who's going to be doing the same thing? A lot of their fans. I think this is going to be a home game for the Eagles. And one thing that you didn't mention was, is it going to be Trey Lance or Justin Herbert? Justin Herbert is getting surgery on his non-throwing hand today, I think, is the day. I don't, just like Marvin Harrison's appendix surgery, I don't know how somebody comes back and plays an NFL game, minor or major surgery, regardless of that. It's going to be a backup quarterback, and And who cares if Amarian Hampton is coming in? If it's Trey Lance, I don't see how the Chargers find a way to get this win.
Wow. Yeah. And if you're the Chargers, let me pull up the Chargers schedule, because if you had to sit Justin Herbert, this might not be a bad one to sit him. You know, like if you're on the borderline, it's like, well, we're going up against a terrifying Eagles team. Like, we might as well sit him and get him right for when we play the Chiefs the following week. Huge divisional right. game. Yeah, that's going to be something to track for sure. So, yeah, I didn't realize that Herbert was actually in danger of missing the game. I just looked up to get the latest info. We're recording on December 1st. And yeah, we don't know. We just don't know what his status is going to be. All right, time for some fantasy football advice. We are going to tell you players that we are flowing into our lineup for week 14. These are players that are kind of, you know, on the bubble of like, do you start them? Do you not? Andy, how about you give me your first player you're flowing in?
Sure, yeah. I am going to go with Jordan Mason as a caveat if Aaron Jones is unhealthy to go for the Minnesota Vikings. It sounds like J.J. McCarthy is coming back. The Vikings are at home against the Commanders. The Commanders are 1-5 away, but the Vikings are 1-4 at home. So the Vikings would love their fans. The whole team would love to show their love at home, give their fans some another win. And I think Jordan Mason is a good running back. I know, like you said, the offensive line is hurt and not fully healthy, but if Aaron Jones is out, I mean, this is like a cowbell volume situation where you want to take advantage of it.
Yeah, definitely volume based play. The Vikings offensive line gives me pause. But yeah, it is a good matchup on paper against the Commanders. And yeah, he'll get enough volume to be at least be like a nice floor play for sure. The running back that I'm flowing into my lineup is, we just talked about the game. I'm going with Kamani Vidal or Omarion Hampton, whichever one, whether or not Hampton's ready. I say you just flow him in to take advantage of that porous Eagles defense that we were just talking about. Not too clever. They just looked dominant against the Raiders last week. So yeah, I would just stick with it. And if Hampton comes back, just plug him and play him, because I think that's how Harbaugh likes to roll.
Yeah, totally agree. I was between Vidal or Wandell Robinson in one of my leagues, and I picked wrong. I should have gone with the team that just loves to run the football, and that's the Chargers. Doesn't matter who's back there, they're going to get opportunities, they're going to get the carries, and if Hampton comes back, he will take full advantage of all of that. So I totally agree. I don't know if I've said this name ever on this podcast. I might have just said it last week. I don't remember what happened, but I'm going to go put soap in my mouth after I say these words. Christian Watson, you got to continue to stick with him. He's obviously the focal point when it comes to scoring touchdowns on this Green Bay team. Yeah. You have to continue on with him. I'm continuing on with him, and I can't believe he's in my starting lineup, let alone I can't believe I'm saying these words out loud.
Are you actually going to start him in a league, you think?
I picked him up, and I've started him the last 2 weeks. He's helping me win. I can't. Yeah, what else am I supposed to do? I'm lost for words, Austin.
This is what fantasy football is all about, man. You got to stay water, and you got to just go with the data that's available. You know, you can't just stay with your priors all year. You got to adjust as new information comes out.
It will be interesting if Jaden Reed comes back, even if he or Matthew Golden. So keep an eye on that. But honestly, I wouldn't care. Yeah. Give me Christian Watson. Oh God, that gives me shivers.
I got two wide receivers that I'm flowing in. The first one's just really obvious, so I'm just going to get that out of the way. Jameson Williams. Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to miss multiple games. And with him gone, they have no choice but to target Jameson Williams a lot. So he's got to be in every lineup. And then Marvin Harrison Jr. is the other guy that I'm flowing into my lineup. He should not have supplanted Michael Wilson as the number one right away. I don't know whose decision that was. Michael Wilson had been killing it for the Cardinals. But yeah, Marvin Harrison, he comes back from his appendicitis and he's just the number one again per, you know, the number of targets, depth of target, all that. It's just like, he's just right back in there to the detriment of the offense, I think. But hey, that's what happened. We got to adjust. And I think it's a really juicy matchup against the Rams, whose secondary is really hurting, as I said at the top of the show. So got to start Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I mean, Jacoby Brissett continues to probably have the most volume as a quarterback in the entire league right now. I would be careful about Marvin Harrison. I think he showed up with a heel injury in that game. So props to Michael Wilson if Marvin Harrison does miss.
Of course. Yeah. If Harrison misses, then yeah, just go right back to Michael Wilson.
Right. I'm just going to go with a quick tight end, Brenton Strange. Maybe he's on your waivers. Maybe he's not. Just take a look for the Jaguars. He came back and got a touchdown. And honestly, you know, I made the wrong tight end start in one of my leagues, but the difference was like 2 points. So as long as your tight end can get you 5-6 points, hell, 8 points, you're ecstatic. So that's all your, and that's what Brenton Strange can do for you on a week-to-week basis with this weird Jaguars team.
Dude, tight ends are so touchdown dependent. It's like,
yes,
they're so frustrating. Quarterback, I'm flowing into my lineup. It's Jacoby Brissett. You just said that the Cardinals are going to have to throw a lot to keep up with the Rams offense. And yeah, just look at his fantasy points. Like, Jacoby Brissett has been the definition of consistent from the quarterback position. No real like spike weeks, but he's just been super consistent. So
yeah,
if you need a bye week fill in, because we're back to bye weeks, this is the last bye week. Or if you're like me and you're having second thoughts about Lamar Jackson, you know, he's someone to look for.
Speaking about the weird Jags team, I'm going to flow out Travis Etienne against the Colts. The Colts defense is still very good. Hey, Etienne has these spike weeks for you, and you're like, man, I got to keep him in my lineup every week. And then he goes just goes flat for 2 or 3 weeks. He is not an every week starter. You have to, like you said, you have to stay water. You have to understand, just because he's the starting running back for this team doesn't mean that he's going to get his points. He had another disappointing week this week, and it's going against a very tough Colts team. The over-under isn't insanely high, and if he doesn't get a touchdown, he doesn't get a whole lot of points. If he doesn't get a breakaway play, he doesn't get a lot of points. He is not an every week starter, so flow him out.
Yeah, Bashel Tutin happened to get the one rushing touchdown that the Jags got all week. So that's just frustrating. Feels kind of like a Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet situation.
Yes, very similar. Very similar.
Player that I'm flowing out of my lineup to tack on, I'll just throw Brian Thomas Jr. out there, because that guy. All right, enough dunking on Brian Thomas Jr. I'm going to go with Ashton Jeanty against the Broncos.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a volume play. You know, you could make the case for him, but I'm going to make the case against him, because this Raiders team is broken and they're going up against one of the toughest defenses in the league. That is the Broncos. I don't know, man. Check your scoring format. Unless you're getting like a point for every carry or something. Like, I just don't know how this guy really makes you happy for fantasy football.
Sure. I hear you. I'm going to go with Devontae Smith. I don't know if you guys have been starting him. I don't know if you guys have not been starting him, but man, to try to pick the week that he's going to pop off, it seems like they're favoring AJ Brown, like they should be as a team. He's just not getting his. I think the Eagles really need to go back to featuring Dallas Goedert a little bit more. I feel like that's kind of taken away from their productive offense, and that allows Saquon and the rest to get more open. Is when you involve this giant tight end that can make plays, break tackles, etc. But I'm not going to start Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Yeah, for sure. Quarterback that I'm flowing out of my lineup. Look, this is really tough, but we talked about it at the beginning of the show. Lamar Jackson, something's wrong with him, man. He is not himself. and it's a pretty tough matchup with the Steelers. So you got TJ Watt. I know. Are you reacting to benching Lamar for fantasy, or that I'm benching Lamar for fantasy?
Both, but mostly you. Mostly yeah. You.
I'm a massive Lamar Jackson fan, and I have no other options in one of the main leagues where I have him. I don't have another quarterback on the roster, so I don't know who I'm going to replace him with, or if I am going to replace him. But yeah, if you're out there and you have another option, like a Daniel Jones or someone, I would try to find another option than Lamar Ooh. Jackson, because he's been killing you. I mean, if you have him, I don't have to tell you. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yep. No, there's a gentleman in one of my leagues. He's sat Dak and played Lamar these last 2 weeks. He has lost both those weeks because of that exact decision. Yep. Yep. That's probably your biggest hot take that you've had on this segment all year. I will admit,
I'm going to go feel like it because he's just been so bad the last 2-3 weeks. But anyways,
I would do it. I would have done it. Yes, I would do the same thing. Man, but to just say it out loud, it hits different. Yeah. My quarterback is going to be Baker Mayfield. He is going against the juiciest of teams with the New Orleans Saints. But this dude is hurt. Some just like Lamar, something is wrong. And ever since like their game, I think it was against the Saints before their bye week, that last time they played the Saints, this offense has just not been the same. Yes, Bucky's finally coming back, and it sounds like Chris Godwin is finally back. It's like you would think that all these pieces coming back would make this offense and Baker like hit their stride again, but it just hasn't worked. And I'm okay sitting Baker, if you haven't been already, until I see the tide change.
Yeah, I agree, man. There's no team out there that could use a bye week more than the Bucks. And they're not going to get it. Yeah. And you might think that the Saints matchup is a great matchup, but last time they played the Saints, Baker Mayfield had like 5 points, literally. Right. Fantasy points. So, yeah, I think that's a great call. I don't know what's going on. Igbuka is suddenly like, he is letting people down left and right. I don't know what's going on. Not that it's his fault, but it's just this offense just
right.
It's one to avoid suddenly. It's the final segment of the week. We got the Fantasy Flow face-off. Let's check in last week's results. We both went 2-1. So 4-2 as a show. That's pretty good. Yeah, shout out to you, Andy. You retain your one-game lead over me on the season. And that's a huge deal because, as we know, the punishment that we agreed on at the start of the season, whoever has the fewest correct picks at the end of the year must become a Tennessee Titans season ticket holder for 2026. So I'm trying to go 3-0. I was so close to going 3-0 if it wasn't for that Broncos overtime game. But, let's see. This week it looks like you are going first. So tell the people what you got.
Well, I'm going to go with the team that has the best record against the spread, and that is the Seattle Seahawks.
Hey, I didn't know that.
They are 9-3 against the spread, and they're going against Atlanta. They're favored by 7.5. I wouldn't be surprised if they just do a repeat shutout from Minnesota to Atlanta. Let them score 0. And let us score a lot. Give me the Seahawks 7.5 against Atlanta.
Yeah, that was on my list for sure. That's given Kirk Cousins a lot of credit. I don't know about this team. I don't know if Drake London's going to play or not. I think that's a great pick. My first pick, I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts against the Jaguars. This is a pick more so against the Jags than it is for the Colts, but I think the Colts win this by more than 1 point. Daniel Jones, since the bye week, he hasn't blown anyone away, but he has been clean with the ball. And I just think that he's been up against it, going up against the Chiefs and the Texans. Those are two very tough matchups for quarterbacks. And now you get the Jags. So give me the Colts.
That's fair. That was not on my list. What is on my list is the Bears plus 6.5 versus Green Bay. I think 6.5 is way too big of a spread. If it was 3.5, 4, I would stay away. But this is going to be a close game. And I feel like the 6.5 points is zero credit to the Bears defense. So I'm going to take the Bears.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what the weather's going to look like in Green Bay, because it's getting to be about that time, December, you know?
Yeah.
You do not want to travel to Green Bay. My second pick, they didn't work out for you last week, but I'm going to take them this week. Miami Dolphins cover 2.5 points against the Jets. Will ya? I think this Dolphins team is playing way harder than they have any reason to play, but I love it. Defense, they traded away some players and they've improved somehow. I think maybe you just light a fire under the other guys. I've been riding Devon Achane in fantasy all year, and this Jets team, I don't know, man. They put up some points last week with Tyrod Taylor, but give me the Dolphins to cover 2.5.
Yeah. I almost wrote this one down, and then I saw the Dolphins were 1-4 away. That kind of scared me. And also just the fact that the Jets are sneaky playing tough. They're playing tough. They're sneakily playing tough, and that's annoying for the spread.
I didn't think about the weather in New York in December. The Dolphins do not like the cold weather.
No, they don't. It does say 40 degrees that day, though. You said you were thinking about the Texans Chiefs game. So was I, but I'm going to pivot to the Eagles Chargers. Give me the Eagles minus 2.5 against the Chargers.
Oh, my goodness. It's 2.5?
Yeah, if Trey Lance plays, this is an easy slam dunk. And if it's Justin Herbert, he has a surgically repaired hand that they are going to make sure they smash on the ground as much as possible.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez, okay. Well, Vegas clearly thinks Herbert's playing. So
Clearly.
Interesting. Okay, my final pick. We talked about it. We previewed it. You just mentioned it a minute ago. I don't think 6.5 is enough. This is a face-off of epic proportions. Oh, give me the Packers to cover 6.5 against the Bears. I don't think this Bears team is the best team in the NFC North. I don't think that the turnovers are sustainable. I think Jordan Love had one of the best games, probably the best game of his season, maybe of his career. Let's follow that up with another good one against the Chicago Bears in a gotta-have-it game for the division.
All I can say is it's going to be a cold one. We got a high of 18 degrees.
Yeah, give me the Packers, baby. Caleb Williams, USC kid, California boy. He doesn't know what he's getting himself into.
Okay, all right. Well, this one will be an easy tiebreaker there, easy swing.
Oh, yeah, we're not going 6-0 as a duo, that's for sure.
I love it, though. I love it. It's going to make it even better.
All right. Good luck, man.
Good luck.
All right. See you guys.
See you.
Thanks a ton for making it to the end of the episode. You're a real one. Don't forget to like and subscribe. That's a free, easy way to support the show, and it really helps us out. And leave us your comments down below if you're on YouTube, or send in your questions at thefantasyflowpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time.